God is a good God. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of us here today, you probably have seen a lot of movies. Am I right? We have seen movies whereby producers will always show women. Either they are heroines or they are evil or they are very good, yeah? Oftentimes, it's one extreme to the other. And if there are sisters, you know, they oftentimes show one very innocent, good sister. The other one is really evil sister. Try not to look at your sister right now. Okay, but I know that in this Bible, I could imagine my producer, who is Jesus Christ himself. And my producer decided to bring about two sisters, Martha and Mary. But they were not extreme. They were not one extreme to the other. They were good people. And yet the producer decided that it should be written for us to capture a powerful lesson. The producer decided that you have two good sisters, yet there is a problem. Are you there with me? Every time we always think that when there are two good people, there is no problem. There are. Okay? And we will discover what those problems are. So in case those of you who want to get married, you say, wow, that was a good wife, that was a good husband. It doesn't mean they don't quarrel. They don't have any differences. They do. All right? In certain cases, there are extreme cases, right? It's not one is good and one is evil. But I'm going to read this portion of Scripture to you, all right? And it's taken in Luke chapter 10. Martha's Factor, I entitled that message. And in this portion of Scripture in Luke chapter 10, and in verse 38 to 42, I want you to follow with me in this passage. I want you to also imagine the producer that's producing this little drama, real drama, and put it into a little movie for us. A real drama. Two good sisters having a little bit of problem. The Bible says in verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now, I begin to see something here. A woman named Martha opened her home to me. I sense that Martha, as a matter of fact, in the Aramaic word, Martha is master. So she could be the owner of the house. She probably is the only one who paid the mortgage. And she owns the house. And she took that privilege to open a house to Jesus. And in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. Everybody say the word Martha, Martha. Come on. He said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from you. You probably have heard this before. You probably have read this several times. But I think in the church, we need martyrs around. Somebody say amen. Because Martha works very hard. She works so hard, she managed to pay her mortgage. She owns the house. She's a good worker. She looked for all the things that needs to be done. She will do it. Both culturally and economically, she knows that it has to be done. So Martha is a very good worker. But after every time we hear sermons that Martha has a problem. But I honestly want to say to you, I need a lot of martyrs in the church. Amen. We need a lot of martyrs. We need people to work hard. We need people like her that will not sit still. But then something caught my eyes. The word, the Bible says, martyr was distracted. She was distracted by all the preparations. The word distracted simply means being pulled apart. Pulled apart. The moment you are distracted, you've been pulled apart. Do you know sometimes it annoys me when I talk to somebody and their eyes is looking at somewhere else? I want to slap that guy. When you're talking, it's like your conversation is not important. And the worst thing, listen to this. They ask me the question. And when I answered, they look somewhere else. That is annoying. But Martha was so distracted by her sister's act. She was distracted by the fact that the sister was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I want you to know that Martha is a traditionalist. She's a conservative. I think it's time that we learn something from Martha. Of course, the hardworking part is good for us to absorb. But there are some areas that we can learn from Martha's mistakes. Isn't it true? Martha's problem is that she needs to drop her apron at least for a minute and sit with Mary before the guest's feet. Isn't it true? And I think back, I think a lot of us need to put aside all our to-do list and come for prayer meeting. Are you there? I think we need to put a lot of to-do lists. I need to go to the market to buy something. I need to do this. I need to do that. Why don't you just put everything else aside and come for prayer meeting, come for Bible study, and come for church? Put everything aside. Oh, but I have homework to do. Put your homework aside. But Pastor, I got exam. Put your exam aside. Are you with me? Because my children knows this. Ever since they grew up, when they said, Dad, I got exam, so what? Exam is not going to replace your Sunday service. If you want to replace it, you can. But whether the Lord is going to bless you with that, I'm not too sure about it. So don't replace the time with God. But somewhere along the line, there was this subtle shift that made Martha looks like as though, the producer made Martha looks like as though she has a problem. And I want to know what that problem was by looking at her conversation with Jesus. And the first thing I discovered was this. Martha's frustration. She was frustrated, isn't it? You know, when somebody gets frustrated, there are a lot of things you don't care anymore. And Martha said something that, my, she has the audacity even to say that. What did she say? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? And then this is something beautiful. She told Jesus, tell her to help me. You're a big sister. Why don't you tell her? Why tell the Lord to tell her? You know, I sometimes when our children are naughty, the husband will say to the wife, you're the mother, right? Can you please tell your children? As though the husband can't tell the children, but he say, you are the mother, please tell the children. So Martha was frustrated. You know, when you are frustrated, you make accusation based on assumption. Listen to this. You make accusation based on assumption. Just because you saw Mary sitting there listening to Jesus And you made the assumption that she's doing nothing. What is she doing there? Now, I want you to know, there is a cultural reference here why she's very unhappy. She's unhappy because Mary was breaking the traditional law. The law for sitting at the feet of Jesus was meant for only men. So when she sat there, Martha felt that it is a sacred duty for any host is to prepare food for the guests. And it is the work of the women. So Mary, what are you doing there? You are supposed to be here in the kitchen with me and prepare the food while the man can sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha follows the law, cultural law. But Mary broke that law. But Jesus wasn't annoyed by that. He knew it was necessary. So here we begin to see that Martha was frustrated and she was busy managing her kitchen. And then she began to say, Lord, can you please tell my sister get her butt off the floor? I need some helping hands. Like some people will say, Pastor, would you please tell the church to get some more people to come and help me to fix the whole setup in this church? Yep, we need that. But there's something else that we need to see. It's not about the work here. It's about the attitude. She made a comparison. He said, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? Martha is sitting there listening to you while I'm busy. Don't you care these guys go to church and while I am still busy cleaning the house? Don't you care these guys are busy, you know, coming to the Bible study while I have to prepare the food and feed the kids? We do that, right? We have a lot of reason to give for ourselves when we are frustrated. And then she began to say, Jesus, don't you care? I can't imagine that. She has the audacity to say that. And then I recall the disciples even say that. Lord, don't you care that we are drowning? Don't you care? Don't you care that John the Baptist is in prison? Lord, don't you care that Lazarus is very sick? Why don't we go over right now? Lord, don't you care there's so much evil around us? Lord, don't you care that my wife is now so busy and not able to comfort me when I come home? Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care that I have to work so hard? We begin to cry it out whenever we are frustrated. We cry it out with this negativity in our spirit. Don't you care? And we came to a point, we even have the audacity to tell God, don't you care? I want you to know the Lord cares more than you care. The Lord cares for you more than what you care right now. And we fail to understand that the Lord gave His life for us by showing us how much He cares. He provides our needs. He answered our prayer miraculously. He leads us. He guides us. He watches our steps. And we are free from some dangers. Don't you think that He cares? He cares. And so we are saying here that Martha forgot that Jesus cared for her more than she cared for her work. I think a lot of time we are very bound and being very easily affected with anxiety. Let us be very careful. The moment we tend to make the comparison that this person is not here while he is or she is supposed to be here, we get frustrated. The moment you are frustrated, your whole entire vision and your whole entire heartbeat becomes corrupted. We don't even realize that we are telling the Lord off. Don't you care? Don't you care that I'm all by myself? And that is the frustration. But there's another problem that Martha has. Martha has this problem we call Martha's obligation. I want you to see the scripture. The scripture says this. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Oh, Pastor, you know, I had to work. I have to work very hard, Pastor. I have to. If we don't work very hard, we don't get enough money. Oh, Pastor, I have to go to school because my parents say if I don't go to school, they will discipline me. I have to. I have to cook because if I don't cook, when my husband comes back, he gets annoyed. I have to cook. Pastor say, come to church. I have to come to church. If I don't come, Pastor will know. I have to. I have to. I have to take care of the kids. Now listen, youngsters, where are the youngsters? Where are the youngsters? Ah. Oh, yeah, James. That's right. You know what? Listen. You don't have to go to school. Lola is so happy now. Asoria, you don't have to go to school. You don't have to. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to go for Bible study. What for? You don't have to play the music. You don't have to. Hello? I'm shaking somebody right now. You don't have to. You don't have to cook for your husband. Come on. You don't have to. You don't have to pick somebody up for the church service. You don't have to. You don't have to do the ushering. You don't have to. There's so many things you don't have to. You don't have to play the piano. You don't have to. But you see, that's why the Bible says Martha was distracted by the preparations that she had to. A lot of us don't realize we are living in this constrained lifestyle that we have to. I have to. I have to. I have to. I have to come to church. I have to work hard. I have no choice. I have to. But when the power of God comes into your life, when the Lord set you free, took you out of the dirt from the miry clay into the marvelous light of God, I will not say I have to. I will say I want to. I want to go to school. I want to come to church. I want to pray. I want to study the Word of God. I want to play the music. I want to be a worshiper. I want to. Somebody give him a clap offering to the Lord. Because we are living by the spirit of obligation. Spirit of obligation always robs us from the joy of the Lord. Spirit of obligation interprets every work, every action, every responsibility as burdensome. Because I have to. Spirit of obligation look at our service to God as difficult and unnecessary because I have to. I have to work hard for the family. I have to study for my future. I have to fix up my attitude. You don't have to. But because of the Almighty God, because of what He has done in your life, I will declare aloud, I want to work hard for my study. I want to study hard. I want to help my family. I want to fix up my attitude so that I become a blessing. I want to. I pray today that the Church of Jesus Christ will never come back again to this spirit of obligation. And neither should any one of us say, oh boy, not again. I have to. If you have to, don't do. You don't have to. But you must tell the Lord, I want to. If you are dragged out of your bed, it means you have to. But if you said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to come. How many of you came today punctually 1 hour exactly on time, not 1 hour late? Praise God. I want to. How many of you like that sermon? Amen? Amen. Praise God. So do you have to sing? You don't have to. But you want to sing. That's exactly what we're saying. And the third one, the third thing is Martha's sense of exploitation. She said this. Listen to the word. My sister has left me to do the work by myself. She just developed a victim mentality. Lord, poor me. My sister left me to do everything by myself. Nobody is here to help me, Lord. She just left me like that. Like sometimes we go about doing our work and my husband is always going out eating with pastor. He's not even here available to help me to cook or to wash or to clean or to bathe the kids. Well, in this particular case, if only I knew, I would have told a man to go back home. But we oftentimes have this problem, isn't it? He left me and I'm all by myself now. I just can't do anything by myself. There's too much work. Too much work. Too many things to think about. And he's not helping me. Oh man, look at this, you know, massive work that needs to be done. And no one is helping me. You probably fall into this victim mentality. But in Martha's case is this. You remember, the Bible says Martha opened her home to Jesus. So if Martha opened her home to Jesus, why is she complaining? Why is she complaining? You open the home, why are you complaining? Why are we complaining when we confess Jesus Christ is my Lord? Then all of a sudden, oh, it's so hard to live as a Christian. But you just made the confession that Jesus is your Lord. Then why are you complaining? You just made the confession that I need Jesus. Then all of a sudden, the Lord disciplined your life. Oh, it's so painful, Lord. I don't want this kind of life. You just made the confession, right? So why are you complaining? And when you walk through the trials and walk through the fiery trials and you start complaining, say, it's hard, yes. But you just made Jesus your Lord, amen. You just made him the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life. So come on, whatever the fiery trials, God is able to deliver us. So we are not going to sit there and just wallow our pity and say, nobody here to help me. I'm not growing in the Lord because pastor didn't give me Bible study. Did you come? Why complain? I do not want to serve because there is no one available to help me. I'm just doing everything by myself. Poor me. You know, pastor, I have to prepare all this. Prepare all this announcement. Nobody help me. Why complain? Why do we complain? And then the Lord said to her, Martha, Martha. Everybody say the word, Martha, Martha. Come on. You are worried and upset about one thing. No, you didn't hear properly. Read the scripture. You are worried and upset about one thing. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. You know, when I saw that, we oftentimes have this battle. We have so many things, but only one thing is so necessary. We have so many unnecessary things, but there's only one thing that is essential. We struggle with the many and the one, many and the one. Which of these that we should be doing? And we get so entangled with all the many things. I know churches get into a lot of, they get upset with too many unnecessary things. I don't want to come to church because he doesn't look very nice to me. I didn't going to come to church because he didn't talk to me. I didn't come to church because he did not shake my hands. Oh, by the way, I didn't come to church because the church doesn't have good programs. I think a lot of us are not realizing the importance of coming to church, isn't it? They are looking at what they can get, not what they can give to the Lord. And they get upset with so many unnecessary things. But you know what is the issue? Is the issue is the attitude that goes off the rail. And Mary, the Bible says, has chosen what is better and it will not taken away from her. Wow. She has chosen what is better. She has chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus. She has chosen to have communion with God. She has chosen to be personally trained by the Lord Almighty. She has chosen to be part of those few disciples. She wants to be trained like any of the disciples right there. She wants that. She chose what is better. But you see, at the end of the day, there is no comparison between the work and the worship. You can be running around. There is not a comparison to people who are preparing for worship. You can't go around and say, oh, look, the ushers just come and so simple. Just put some banners, everything okay. Man, we got to set up all this thing. It is really difficult. There's no comparison. Because the person who does that and the person who does this, both bring greater honor to Jesus. And he says this, that she chose a better one. She chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. When you honor the Lord with what you do, it will not be taken away from you. Even though you may do the smallest thing, but it brings honor to God, it will not be taken away from you. And that is important for us to realize that. Mary has chosen what is better. So instead of bringing your friends to the city, can you please bring them to the church? Choose the better one. Instead of playing computer, please take some time, play with your kids. Choose the better one. Instead of staying in the palace, Nehemiah chose to go off to the city to build the broken walls. Look at Ruth. She could easily go back to Moab and stay with the family, but she chose to follow her mother-in-law. She chose the better one. Abraham was called to get out of Ur and go to a land that he wasn't very sure where. But the Lord will guide because of the promise. He chose the better one. I believe today that we are given a choice. We are given a choice to choose. Isn't it true? Mary chose the better one, and it will not be taken away from her. When you honor the Lord, God will not take that away from you. When you start to choose the better one, it is because of the right attitude. That's why Jesus said, there is indeed a few things, but only one. That one is not because she sat on the floor at the feet of Jesus. It's not because Martha did something that is not worthy in comparison to what she did. But that one was actually the right attitude. Everything that I see that the producer was trying to show me about the two sisters' battles was all about the attitude. You can be serving in any capacity. You will bring honor to the Lord, and it will never be taken away from you. You can be cooking a meal, or you can be worshiping. It doesn't matter. Because when it's honoring God with that attitude, it will not be taken away from you. Amen? So when Martha and Mary had this situation, not so much of Mary, but more so of Martha, I begin to realize that many of us are very much affected by martyr's factor. But today I want you to know we need God's factor. We need God's factor that will not complain, that will not have the spirit of obligation. It will be a time that will be no manipulation, and tell God and tell the Lord, please tell my sister, please do this. When you have God's factor, you will always say, Lord, because of you, I want to do it. Amen? Because of you, I want to do it. So today, I'm asking you, are you ready to do what God has called you to do? Or are you making comparison that mine is not as good as the other person? No. As much as James sings and sing and I preach, it's both the same. As long as our attitude is attached to what we do for the Lord, the right attitude, God will be honored. And when God is honored, He will not take that away from you. But the moment you said, nah, why is this thing happening? Why is she doing that? Why she left me with so much work to do and so forth? I have to do so many things, you know. They don't even care. Lord, don't you care for me? I'm afraid that you will lose out the grace of God. Martha's factor is a real factor that is affecting the society. Because oftentimes I hear people say, I have to sing, I have to play, I have to set it up, I have to come to church, I have to study, I have to come for prayer meeting. Oh, if I don't, then the society is so confined with the I have to. But today, let us get out of this spirit of obligation because of what the Lord has done. Somebody say amen. And because of what He has done, I want to declare to you, I want to. I may not be feeling well. I may have sore in my very jaw here, but I can tell you one thing. I want to preach the word. Amen. Because everybody needs the word of God. Somebody saying, amen. Amen. Come on, give Him all praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to settle down for a moment. The Spirit of the Lord is just impressing upon my heart in regards to martyrs. Factor in this particular area where sometimes we irrationally get frustrated because we don't get what we want. Martha was frustrated because she didn't get her sister coming over her side. So she got so frustrated, she literally, if I use the word, tell Jesus off. Church, we have to always take one step aside and think through before we get ourselves consumed with that frustration. Yeah? Because the moment you're frustrated, you blurt out things that is completely unreasonable to God. Don't get yourself trapped into it. The second trap is the spirit of obligation. Don't get yourself trapped into this. If you are husband and wife, you must say, I love to do it because I love my wife. I want to do it because I love my children. I want to play with them because I love my kids. You understand what I'm saying? I want to. I want to do all the inconveniences for the sake of building and growing my family. It's that. I want to. And I pray that you will not have this exploitation mindset that as though it is only you are doing the work and nobody else. My sister left me to do all these things by myself. Do not have the victim mentality. Let us begin to enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. Don't get distracted with too many unnecessary things. There's only one thing we need to have. Is to have the right attitude to honor God. That is that one thing. It's not about the sitting down. It's not about the working. It's not about the worship. It's not about the working. It's about the right attitude. The attitude of honoring Jesus Christ. Somebody say, why don't you stand with me right now? Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.